following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Hello and welcome once again to It Came From Radio. This is your host, Mark Toro speaking. Hassan Godwin should be calling in any second. Now, he's probably on the phone right now. And I have Charlie Saladino is running late, so he'll be here shortly. Shem Sinatra, once again, is off in the Three Stooges land, and we're not sure exactly where he is. Yes, Hassan on the phone? Yeah, I thought so. Hello, Hassan.
Yeah, I'm on the phone.
Just making sure. So, if anybody's having any trouble listening to us on the air, you can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com and listen to us on a live audio streaming. Also, on the GBB website, you can see me in the studio camera, along with Trevor here, because Hassan is not sitting next to us in the Hassan area.
No, I'm not, sadly.
Is it really that sad?
Yeah, well, it's not for me.
Well, you're somewhere else. That's
yeah,
you know.
I exist.
Yes, that's not so bad.
I'm alive.
I ain't here, but I'm somewhere else. That's not bad.
Where's Charlie?
He's running late, so he'll be here shortly.
Okay. So yeah, we're doing bang up tonight, then.
Yeah, and I was late, so it was all good.
All right, excellent.
And the phone number here is area code 61-888-8811. And for those of you who don't have a computer, too lazy to go to a computer, you can actually do what Hassan's doing, listening to us on his smartphone. Right, you can hear us on your smartphone with such places as apps, as it's called an app, right? Apps?
Yeah,
such apps as, what is it, iTunes Radio or TuneIn Radio, MyTunes Radio, well, any one of those radio apps, you can hear us on your phone, so you don't even have to go
My
to
My suggestion is you figure out exactly what that's called before we mention it again.
I used to have it written down and I lost it, so there you have it.
Yeah, it's fine.
Just,
it works.
Just an app, you know, use those app thingies that the kids are using.
Yeah, an app.
Yeah.
Go ahead and app it.
that's the catchphrase? Go ahead and app it.
Yeah, app it. Yeah, it is now. I just made it up, so.
See, then the money's going to start rolling in.
Yeah, right.
All right, so I'm going to take it away with the news. From the shameless.
Take it away with the news, Mark.
Thank you. From the shameless department.
Oh, boy.
Red
I'm going to hang up for a little while. I'll be back when you're done.
Red Anvil's War of the Independence Issue 2 is out in stores this month. War of the Independence is a six-issue full-color crossover series bringing independent creators together from all spectrums of comics by writer-artist Dave Ryan. War of Independence is bringing together characters such as Ant, Max, Bone, Savage Dragon, Gumby and Pokey, Phaser, Sire, and my character happens to be in there also. She is actually in the first issue. And she's supposed to be cleaning up Pokies, and she's supposed to be doing something in the fourth issue, so that's still 3 months away. But so you can find out why she's doing whatever she's doing, you gotta pick up the other two issues, which are out now. How about that?
That sounds fair. if you wanna know why, you gotta pick up an issue. That makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, see? Good. I wanna know why. I wanna be able to answer. If you wanna see more of my character, you can go to RZG's War of the Independence trading card series, which has I have my own little card, and it's a perfect companion to the comic book series. So that's good, too.
I think so. I agree. It's a perfect companion. But, no, I'm being sincere.
All right. So, speaking of RZG comics, their flagship character, Phaser, will be teaming up with my character this March. And a matter of fact, they're going to be on the show next week to talk about my character, which is weird because I should be able to talk about my own character without them being here. But why not? I'll have them back, Mariano Nisiza.
Well, it sounds less arrogant when someone else is bragging about your stuff, you know?
All right.
So that's how you get around the arrogance factor, you know?
Oh, okay. So there you go. Yeah. So we're having a special guest from the RCG Comics next week to talk about the Phaser team-up issue number 2. which involves my character, which is coming out next month. So hooray for that.
Sounds good to me.
So for more information on Phaser, my character, or RZG Comics, you go to www.rzgcomics.com. And let's see, what do we got? Ooh, if you guys remember out there in Radio Land, we mentioned that there was a Batman XXX parody, because they have to use the word parody or else they would get sued.
Right.
So hot off the heels of that said parody, adult director and producer Alex Braun, he whips out, two more parody productions. So coming soon to DVD is Thor XXX and She-Hulk XXX.
Wow.
Hey, people like the Thor.
Yeah, I bet. Wow, okay, well, you know what?
Yes.
Can't really argue with the She-Hulk one.
But why Thor? Because he has the hammer.
No, wow, is it that kind of show? All right, okay, fair enough. You know, I would have gotten a groan, I would have gotten a dirty look if I made that joke. I just want to go on record with that. Why?
Well, actually, to answer your question, why She-Hulk is because wrestler turned porn star Chyna will play the She-Hulk. So you wrestling fans out there,
I didn't realize she had turned porn star, actually.
So I guess that's another bit of news. And by the way,
I'm being thoroughly educated this evening. I had absolutely no idea she had become a porn star. That's oh, there's a word I'm looking for. Let's see, what's the word? Oh, terrifying. That's right. That's what I'm looking for. Terrifying.
And speaking of terrifying, it
oh, boy.
I'm actually reminded by Chyna. She was being interviewed many years ago, and they were talking about women.
This is pre-porn star Chyna.
Yes,
right? Okay.
Pre-porn star Chyna was talking about her role in the WWF at the time. Wasn't in WWE.
Ironically, not very much unlike porn. But go ahead.
That's their slogan, WWE. Not much unlike porn.
It's true.
Whipping out the slogans this time.
Well, WWE, it's a kind of fetish, you know? It's a fetish industry. So it's not porn, but it's not unlike porn.
Okay.
I don't want to get into this, because we'll get death threats and stuff like that, because those fans are fanatics. Let's just keep going.
So Chyna was...
Chyna's being interviewed.
Yes, and she was saying how during a wrestling match, one of her implants popped on stage.
Oh.
I was like, wow, how about that? I bet you didn't know that either.
No, I didn't. And unfortunately, I could have gone the whole night without hearing about it. Yeah, I would have been all right without that little piece of information.
That's
messed up.
So yes, I'm sure.
What did she do? Follow up? Is that a follow up?
What did she do? She got off stage, obviously. I don't think she finished the match. She was like, "Ow!" and then she went off stage. And walking into the studio gingerly is Charlie Saladino. Say hi.
Oh, man, I'm not there to see him move like Ginger.
Hey, that's Ginger Saladino to you.
Hello, Charlie.
How are you, son? I'm like not to be confused with Marianne Saladino and and the Skipper Saladino and just...
The professor.
Yeah.
As long as you're not Mrs. Howell.
Right. Who died, Mark?
We were just talking about how wrestling superstar Chyna will
turn
now
porn
play
star.
Turn porn star, and she's going to play the She-Hulk in the XXX version of the She-Hulk.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I remember Chyna when she was just like a giant woman.
Yeah.
Now she's a giant porn star.
A giant porn star. Wow. What is her first movie, porn movie? Was that?
No clue.
No idea what
doing
that is.
China?
Actually, let me see if I can look that up.
The Great Wall of China.
Oh, what's going on?
Yeah.
See what happens when you don't show up?
Little trouble in big China.
Ooh. Wow.
That's hilarious.
We're going to get canceled.
Alrighty, moving along. Actually, I'll say that one for last. So, with 310 days left to the end of the world, according to John Cusack and
Amon. Oh my God, with this stuff!
Next year, if they're wrong, next year...
It's the end of the world. They're making allowances.
Next year, February 14th, Valentine's Day 2013, we'll see the release of a new movie. And the new movie is called A Good Day to Die Hard, which happens to be part 5 of the Die Hard series.
Wow.
Wow.
Was that...
See, there was Die Hard. There was Die Hard 2, Die Harder.
Yep.
There was Die Hard with a Vengeance.
Yep.
There was Live Free and Die Hard.
Yep.
And now it's A Good Day to Die Hard?
Yes.
Yes. It's about a terrorist who take over the old folks' home where Bruce Willis is, and he hides out in the geriatric ward.
By the way, China's movie is called A Backdoor to China.
Oh! Okay.
I wonder what kind of movie that is.
There you go. Just in case you needed to know, I'm sure our fans were very interested.
And just, you know, my pun on Bruce Willis. He's still going strong, that guy.
Yeah. So.
There's nothing
wrong with Bruce. He's still going strong.
He's going to be in the Expendables Part 2 coming out this year.
There you go.
Yeah, and he's also going to be in G.I. Joe Part 2.
Yeah,
making the rounds.
He's in the sequel business now.
Who's
Do you think that he is going to, just John McClane, is going to die in A Good Day to Die Hard?
Actually, it says that this may be the case because in this movie, they have landed Jai Courtney, who play his son in a Die Hard movie. And Jane Courtney is most known for his role as Varro in Spartacus Blood and Sand, the cable series. So it's a chance.
Wow, that guy's going to be Bruce Willis' son?
Yes, that guy is going to be Bruce Willis' son.
He's
a strange son, by the way. So, as it says, Bruce Willis reprises his role and finds his way to Moscow, where he and his estranged son must work together to keep each other alive and keep the world safe for democracy.
Dun, dun, dun.
He's a cop. How is he saving democracy as a cop? Why don't they just, you know, bring it back down to earth?
The police academy guys went to Moscow in part 6.
Did you really
just bring up the police academy guys? Did you really get
Mission
you that
to Moscow?
Point?
He's just in the wrong place at the wrong time.
In the wrong country.
At least 5 films, at least, you know.
Oh my God. Yeah, but that's...
Alright. See, the problem...
Yes, it's John McClane and the Police Academy group, right? That's a movie, by the way.
Yeah.
You got a movie there. That movie's going to work. That's going to make us millions. We're just going to figure out how to pull it off.
You're going to have Mahoney back, you know?
Yes.
And the guy makes the sound effects.
Yeah, like, because what else is Steve Guttenberg doing right now?
Yeah, nothing. Nothing.
The big fat nothing.
Nothing.
So,
and in fact, all those people would run back to those roles, except for, as we know,
Bubba.
Hightower.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bubba. Rest in peace, Bubba.
Yeah, and so then, and also, what's his name? The guy who played Tackleberry. He is no longer with us.
David Graff. Yeah, he died a long time ago.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. The thing about the Die Hard movie franchise is the same problem that the TV show 24 had. The first show, which is the first series in 24, was about the guy, and you felt for him. He actually had character development, and you really were able to put yourself in his position, as he was just in a bad place. He was over his head, and he managed to escape. But then, as we all know, as people love sequels, they have to keep on upping the ante. So now it no longer becomes about him as a character, it's about what he's doing. So the second one, third one, fourth one, he's always just, he has to do stuff. He has to do more. So bringing him out of his natural element, which is now the United States of America, and sticking him in Moscow, is what they're going to do. And it's a bad idea.
Well, he's going to have to tread lightly, because he can't walk around Moscow, you know, putting 6 or 7 bullets into people like he does in America, you know, because he's out of his jurisdiction in Moscow.
Does he get to wear shoes in this one?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's like Rocky, you know, they just kept on going up and up and up and up, up in the ante until it got too crazy. He fought the Russians.
Wasn't there and it escapes me, and I should know this, and I'm going to, on the break, I will bang my head against the wall for not knowing it, but it was one of my funny comedy movies, and in passing, they pass a movie theater, and you see like something like Rocky 86, and it's an old man with a walker.
That was Airplane, the sequel?
Yeah, okay.
It was Rocky XXXX, and it had an old guy.
Okay. I knew it was one of my favorite movies, and thank you, because I would have been up in four in the morning researching that. Saved me some sleep time.
So let's see, we got porn parodies, we got Die Hard Part 5, and let's see.
Who died?
I actually don't have any dying news. Although this is in relation. So speaking of people dying,
Mr. Segway.
In people dying. Virginia, Billy Wright's great nephew came across an interesting find. It seems while cleaning out his late great uncle's closet,
he found his late great uncle.
I'm sorry.
Uncle Ned, no wonder why you didn't come to dinner last February.
30 years.
Go ahead. I just had to jump in with that. It was a straight line.
345 comic books, of which included Action Comics number 1, Detective Comics number 27, Captain America number 2, All-American Comics number 16, Batman number 1, and Marvel Comics number 1. It turns out that 45 of the said 345 comics are considered to be the most collectible comics of all time.
And somebody will pay $1 million for each one of them.
So what does
the nephew do with this collection? What would you do if you found this collection?
I'd sell the heck out of it.
I would get rid of it.
And if you go online right now, there's an auction for the Billy Wright collection.
Smart guy. He's doing an auction. He's not even saying, hey, buy this for... No, we'll auction it. Because if... You know why? He probably read that article about somebody buying a comic for $1 million. So he
said... There was five of them now, right? Yeah. There was the Nicolas Cage. Yeah. I think there's been five idiots out there who's bought comic books for
$1 million. Yeah, the guy from System of a Down, I think. One of the guys from System of a Down.
Right. I mean, I had Beatles, memorabilia, and, you know, as much as I love the Beatles, if somebody came to me and said, I'll give you $1 million, here, take it. I'll take $1 million, I'm not greedy, $1 million.
Just $1 million. Yeah.
Someone could offer me $1 million Skittles, and I'd probably say, Skittles? Hell, Skittles. All yours.
There you go. Have fun. Drink up, Shriners. Have fun. Anyway.
So, according to experts, the collection is expected to sell well over $2 million.
Wow.
So I don't know if he's going to sell the whole collection in one bundle, or is he going to sell it individually?
For the guy who bought the one for $1 million, he's probably beating his head in saying, I could have got more for just one more. Yeah, do the math.
Here's a question.
Go ahead.
Does he have siblings?
Oh, it does not say.
Because if he does, that is going to be an ugly, ugly battle.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, follow-up question.
Yeah,
it's just like what's her name? Bobby, Christina? Whitney's daughter?
Right.
Has sole rights to her $20 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, and her grandmother's making sure that she gets that money and not Mr. Bobby Brown.
So they say he was officially divorced before anything happened, yeah?
Yeah, poor Whitney.
So
whatever deals were made at his divorce is all he's getting.
Right.
Yeah. All he's entitled to.
Yep.
Good.
So I guess hooray for Billy Wright's great nephew.
Yeah, and especially that he didn't find the great grandfather in the closet someplace.
Wow!
Well, it wouldn't have been late. Great. No, never mind.
who was it that left the comics?
It says Billy Wright's great nephew. So Billy Wright is his collection. That's the guy who died. Billy Wright has died.
Billy Wright died.
Yes.
Okay.
But it doesn't have a name of who was the nephew.
So where is his nephew? Where's the guy who comes just before the great nephew? He must have died, too, if he's not getting a chunk of that green milk.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so they have it. So, actually,
there is a movie in this somewhere.
Really?
Yeah,
where is Billy Wright, and what did he do with the comic books? And then the guy finds him, and he sells them to the nut job that's willing to pay $1 million.
And then they make a porno movie of it.
Yeah.
Billy Wright, comics, XXX.
Yeah. Yeah.
China's going to be a
star. Triple X comic.
Yeah, backdoor to the comic books. Yeah, I don't know. It's a crazy night for me, folks.
Wrestling turned porn star Wendy Richter, right? That was her name, Wendy Richter?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't keep up with this.
Oh, all right. Never mind it. All right, so we're ready for our break there, Trevor. Where are you
going? Ready?
Yep.
Here.
Trevor, are we ready? I don't think Trevor's listening.
I wish you were here.
Ready for a break. There we go.
Okay.
Right back to the Kingston Radio.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at MFC_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music. Wow, that was hot. Now, back to our show.
And we're back to the radio show host, Mark Torres speaking, along with Hassan Galvin on the phone and Charlie Saladino in the studio.
He's actually not sitting on the phone. He's speaking to us from a phone.
Yes, I'm not on the phone.
He's not on the phone.
But
maybe,
I am
maybe
on
you are
the phone.
Because we can't see you on the webcam.
I could be sitting on the phone, but it'd be very hard for you to hear me, and we'll just leave it at that.
Unless you're talking, you know, out of...
And you would have to be from a circus family, right?
So I really like Jackson music, but we got to get another CD.
We got to ask Keith for another CD? Yeah.
Yes. We have to... We've endorsed them as... probably as much as any friend of the franchise could possibly endorse them, and now we need but I think I've heard that tune like four times.
Yeah.
At least four or five times. So
and they're on Amazon, by the way, right?
Yeah, so that tune is from the Vixens of Virtue, Vixens of Vice, CD, Rise of Sherlin. It's available on Amazon.com, and that was Keith Jack's son,
right?
Jax.
Or it's available on, it came from the radio, if you're going to download it every time we play.
And that's for Third Rail Productions at www.t-r-p.net.
And in a related story, oh, sure, you're not doing Mr. Segment.
Oh.
And in a related story, thank you again, Caitlin Ross Poteet, for guest co-hosting last week. She was very excellent.
Yes, and
she was very excellent. Did you hear that? I made up a phrase.
If all goes well, the archive for that particular episode will be up tonight, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, I've been getting sort of like, you know.
Well,
where is it? Where
we've
is
been having
it?
Technical difficulties and running behind, but it should be all caught up shortly. So that one should be up on the site.
Mm-hmm.
So this week we're going to be talking about the sequel to the Ghost Rider movie. Called Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance. It's ironic that I happened to flip it on the channel today and I saw a part of the original Ghost Rider movie and I was reminded how bad the original Ghost Rider movie was. And we actually did a show about it, how bad that movie was and how disjointed and how it's just, ugh. Do you remember how bad that movie was, Hassan?
How could I forget how bad that movie was? Yes, I can remember how bad that movie was.
Do you remember?
I've been trying to forget it, and whenever you try to forget something, you can always remember every minute detail.
Yeah, I remember how very blasé it was, and I just thought that was very bad, and then I saw Skyline. Move on.
And that was it. Then it was Shakespeare after Skyline.
Yes.
So
and there was that damn remake of Othello.
What was I thinking?
What was I thinking?
So going into this movie, I had very low expectations, and I was like, it's probably going to just suck as bad as the first one did. So I went to see it, and actually I didn't get to see it and I was supposed to see it. So all my friends went to see it, and I didn't see it. And they all came out. It was worse than the first one. It was a horror movie. So I'm like, great. Now I have to force myself to see the sequel to this really bad movie, which is a bad movie.
Okay.
And I just happened to see it last night. And I was surprised by how bad it was not. It wasn't a good movie by any stretch of the imagination. But it was enjoyable. I really enjoyed it. The problems I had with the first movie was that the biggest problem I had was that his powers were very inconsistent. But since you already have established that in the first movie, you can't complain about that in the second movie because that's just how it is. So if you accept that part of it...
This is not a good endorsement at all.
It was an enjoyable movie. I was like, wow, the powers were just as inconsistent, but it was something that I got accustomed to, so I was fine with it. And other than that, It was a good little smooth ride. It had a couple of in jokes. Action was decent, and the computer.
Yeah, one of the in jokes is that they got you to see it, even though you saw the first one.
The special effects were pretty decent. It was a 3D movie, so you know you had stuff popping out at you, and I had forgotten how badly the Ghost Rider CGI flaming head looked in the first movie compared to this movie, and it actually looked better. They improved the special effects, they improved on the humor, It was an overall enjoyable movie. So since you guys were supposed to see it and didn't get a chance to, so you guys have to ask me some questions.
You're not supposed to tell everybody that. You're just supposed to ask you questions.
We're supposed to muddle through it.
Yes, let's muddle through and ask me tons of questions.
You know what? The problem with
Ghost Rider
with your statement is that it pretty much answers the question. You're saying it's lackluster, it's blasé, blah blah blah. After that, what's the point? Because what's the point of this discussion? But you know, the bottom line would be your sequel is supposed to either be on par or better than the previous incarnation.
It was better.
Well, no, I understand that's what you're saying, but no. And I'll explain why I say that.
Okay.
Hey, son, what are you saying that?
I'm about to explain.
Oh, but
good thing you asked.
Glad you asked.
Well done.
Okay.
Here's the thing. We got past the first one. It was universally panned. It wasn't like it was like, you know, some people liked it, some people didn't. It's not like the Transformers where you can't understand why or how that could work, but it does work in its own way.
Right.
You know,
big
it works for someone.
Big bag of money, right.
Yeah, exactly. So, we already know what's bad, so now they're going to make another one. They're contractually obligated to make this next movie, so that's why it's happening. Nicolas Cage isn't complaining because he's getting some cash, so, you know, and so we move on, right?
Right.
You come along and you go, well, I saw a movie, it wasn't a bad movie, but it wasn't a good movie, you know? It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't good.
Right.
And it's like, well, then, what's the point? The point would have been, you saw the first one, you gotta see this one, because this is what the first one should have been. That is the only goal this movie had, is just to make it better than the first one.
So
and if you're saying, well, it was all right, you know, I didn't hate it, I didn't want to kill myself when I saw it, but it still wasn't really a good movie, you said, these are your words.
That's true.
It's not really a good movie by any stretch of the imagination.
So you're saying that this sequel should have been more like the second Hulk movie.
Exactly. If you're going to make another one, then you go, oh, all right. You know, I thought it was a little too soon for another Hulk, but I see why they did it. You know, this is what the first one should have been. And it works. I was a fan of the second Hulk movie. I thought it was a good movie. The problem that I had with it is that I couldn't come off my soapbox about it was still too soon for a remake.
Right.
But it was a good remake. I saw it when the DVD came out. I grabbed it. I watched it more than once because, you know how it works. You get a DVD, you're like, okay, I own that now. I saw it once. That's it. And then you collect stuff on your shelf for the next 10 years. This, I actually watched more than once. I've enjoyed it. I watched the original only for Jennifer Connelly. And I could see the vast difference between the two. The two are mutually exclusive movies. The second one is highly superior. You're gonna come along and you're gonna say, okay, I'm gonna make a sequel to Ghost Rider, and your money people are gonna be like, why? The other one didn't do good. Everybody said they hated it. What the heck are you gonna? I'm gonna make it better, right? That's the whole point.
Well, actually,
you just said without blinking that it didn't succeed.
It was better than the first one, but that's, you know, it's just, you know, you got a bowl of crap and you got a, you know, not as bad bowl of crap. It's still
you
better.
You can't do that.
It was better.
This bowl of crap is bad. This bowl of crap has sugar on it, so it's a little better.
It's just a little better.
There you go.
It's funny that you would mention that because I did a little research on the movie.
On bowl of craps.
And well, we all do research on bowls of crap.
Yes. And they said that the writer went up and down in all interviews saying that it was going to be a detachment from the first one. They weren't going to mention the first one. It was going to be a quote-unquote darker movie and all this stuff. And I'm reading, I'm like, he didn't do any of that. He didn't do any of what he said. It was kind of more of a campy movie. It was a fun little stupid movie with Ghost Rider running. You know, it's as serious as you can get with Nicolas Cage in it and with a guy with a flaming skull that didn't take themselves seriously in this movie, I felt. And that's why I felt that it was better.
Okay, because the guy knew he was in a crap movie. That's what made the crap movie better, that the guy actually just acknowledged, yeah, this is a crap movie.
Here's a perfect example.
Sort of like my head catches flames and I really don't know what my powers are yet.
That's pretty much what happened in this movie. He was like, I gotta keep it in, and then he's like, I gotta let it out, and then because the first and then he's like, oh, I gotta hide in the shadow and use the power, and sometimes like, ah, just turn right now. It was very all over the place. But here's a perfect example that pretty much set the entire feel of the movie. The main bad guy got his power to he has the power to decay stuff, so that's the bad guy. He touches things, it decays. Right, so he's driving along somehow, not decaying the car that he's in, and he's driving along and he's hungry, so he goes into this bag of food and he tries to eat something, but every time he pulls out a sandwich or something, it disintegrates in his hand because it decays, and then he pulls out, which I knew was coming, a Twinkie, and a Twinkie did not decay, and he was very happy enjoying his Twinkie.
That's right.
So that kind of is the example of what this movie was. It's just a little, you know, a little campy, a little fun movie with a guy with a flaming skull and then versus a guy who can decay stuff. And throwing Christopher Lambert and throwing Idris Elba, and there you go.
All right.
What was Christopher Lambert doing in that movie?
Christopher Lambert, he played the priest, the head priest of the least pacifist group of priests ever in existence.
Well, there could be only one.
All right. So there's a Twinkie joke, and the Highlander's in it.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. You know what? This is going to be the worst. It's going to be the worst show we've ever done for reviewing a movie.
Oh, it's more.
I'm telling you right now.
It's more.
I'm never going to see this film.
But it wasn't as bad as the first one.
Okay, let me ask you here.
Yeah,
there you go, yes.
Here's the catch-all.
Yes.
Say me and Hassan and you were seeing this movie together.
Right.
Say I fell asleep and woke up. Would I have missed anything?
If you... The movie was not disjointed. It was pretty straightforward. You know, this is...
Right.
You know, Ghost Rider is, you know, far removed from the first movie. He's hanging out over here. There's some kid that needs to be saved, and they have to go save him, but the bad guys want him killed. That's the movie. That's pretty much in a straightforward, linear thing. They try to throw in some twists and turns, you know, a little bit, but it's pretty much straightforward. Bad guy wants the kid because he is the devil's son, and he wants to transfer his powers over to the kid.
Okay.
Ghost Rider has to save him, but
Kid's the devil's son, or the guy who wants the kid?
The kid's the devil's son. The guy is supposedly one of the devil's disciples, or might be the devil himself.
Yeah.
And he wants
Really? You saw the movie, you don't know?
Well, they're hinting. You know, they're hinting.
Hinting?
Hinting? Why?
Shouldn't it have been done with hinting on the credits roll? And then, you know, all should have been known?
Supposedly, this is Peter Fonda's, Henry Fonda. Who played
Henry Fonda is no longer with us.
Yeah,
he played the main bad guy. The devil.
Yeah, that was Peter. Peter played the devil.
Peter played the devil.
Peter
so in this Fonda one, the devil is wanting to get because he's in a human vessel and
so
he can't maintain. The
Adam
power.
Sandler is running around, and Ghost Rider has to save him.
Yeah, pretty much. That's,
okay.
Yeah. It's like Terminator 2, you know, they had to try to protect the kid.
Yeah.
So that's, and there's motorcycle and there's a jacket.
Wow.
That's what's going on in the movie. But like I said, it's not a complicated movie. You can follow it along. It's like, all right, this is the bad guy, this is a good guy, they're going to fight, this is it. Not a bad story, but they just kind of just made fun with it. They just kind of enjoyed themselves as they went along. And then,
that's not a reason for a movie to be good.
I didn't say it was a good
movie. I've seen you watch movies and tear them to shreds. That doesn't work.
I didn't say this was a good movie.
This is what I'm saying. So that's the point of the whole review.
Says the first one was a bad movie. This one is a satisfactory movie.
Yes, it's a satisfactory movie, yes.
That doesn't mean anything. I've had beatings better than that first movie, all right? You know, so that's...
I was satisfied with this movie. I left the theater like, wow, I was satisfied.
How are you satisfied? Nothing you said has been
because
good.
Because it wasn't a bad movie. And
what are you talking about? What are you talking about? The Twinkie joke alone made it a bad movie.
That was
How is that even possible?
That's a bad Twinkie, Ray.
How is that even possible? How can you turn around and say, oh, yeah, this movie's good?
I didn't say it was good.
It's subjective.
You keep on saying I use the word good. I didn't use the word good.
Well, if it's not bad, it has to be good.
Not necessarily.
You're not giving it anything. That's the problem. You're not.
The movie didn't take itself seriously.
No, but you're not being definitive about it at all.
I'll be definitive in saying I enjoyed that movie as best as I could.
That's not definitive.
Yes, the movie was satisfactory. The movie was satisfactory. There you go.
That's a little better.
I left the theater saying
satisfactory requires explanation. That's the problem. Good and bad. Those don't require explanations. People understand those.
All right.
It was okay. I find it satisfactory. I was entertained. Those are not definitive. Those leave too much to the imagination.
Well, why I was entertained, like I said, I felt the movie didn't take itself seriously, so I didn't take the movie seriously, so I was able to enjoy everything that was presented. Even so, some things were ridiculous. There was a scene.
So wait, you're saying all the first movie really had to do was acknowledge it was a joke, and you would have been fine with it?
No, I don't think so. That movie was just so far bad. It was too far gone to be.
What I'm saying. You see what I'm saying? It's got to be one or the other.
He's actually saying that this movie he was just so anticipating that it was bad, and then for the simple fact that it was amusing, it was satisfactory.
It's like, I'll go with Green Lantern. I thought that movie was going to be a bad movie. I really did. And going in, I was like, this is going to be a bad movie. And the movie, I don't think they tried at certain points in that movie. They were not taking themselves seriously at all. But the feel of the entire movie, they're like, all right, we're supposed to be dead serious. This is some serious crap that's going down. And you're like, no, this is ridiculous. This is no way. But it was so disjointed and so bad and so everything was just so bad about that movie. Even if they didn't take themselves seriously, it's not enough to make that an enjoyable hot mess.
Okay, I understand that.
All right. See, Charlie's with me. You're still debating.
Is it a good bad?
It's not really debating. It's just a.
If
you're
going to
compare it, you're saying I'm just gonna paint it for you in case you haven't seen anything, right? Let's pretend no one's seen either one of them, right?
Okay.
You're gonna say the first one is terrible. The first one is god awful. Blah blah blah. The second one isn't good either, but at least they knew it was bad. That's what made it funny, and then I enjoyed it. And then you're gonna go, wait a minute. What?
You put it like that, it makes it sound bad.
That's what I'm saying. That's what you said. That's what I'm hearing. So here's the thing. You go back, and the person goes, okay, so what you're telling me is the first one was a little more tongue-in-cheek, it would have been good, and you go, no, that movie's just bad.
It was. It was just a really bad
movie. Yeah, but what's the difference? Like, how is one movie bad, but another movie is not so bad, yet even though it's not so bad, it's really not good? How is that in any way a description? How does it help anybody?
So, so by the fifth sequel, it should be a decent movie.
It should be just right. It's going bad, satisfactory, above bad.
They finally got the formula down.
It's above bad, but just beneath good.
Yes.
It's just a hair's breadth beneath good, but it's above bad.
Well, I think that ever since we've been doing these radio shows, and we've been discussing all the different parts of the movie and you know, how the expectations and how the beginning and how the middle and how we've pulled apart a movie so much 8 ways from Sunday during this radio show. I now take all this stuff into when I go to watching new movies. And I think that having pulled it apart as much as we possibly could, I took all this stuff into consideration and I went to see it. I'm like, you know what? It ain't that bad. That's as good as you're going to get. It ain't that bad.
That's our new rating, ATB. I rate this ATB. Ain't that bad.
So, you know, if there's nothing else, it's one of those movies you just watch on TV and flip the channels. Oh, it's on. I'll watch it. It ain't that bad. But it's not like something that, I got to go run out and pay.
It's sad to hear. It's kind of, because I had a couple of friends who were talking to me about it, and they said they had watched some interviews and seen some behind-the-scenes footage and stuff like that. And it seemed like that the creators were taking a project really seriously and trying to turn it into something and trying to make it something more than the original was.
Yeah,
which you're saying that they semi-succeeded in doing, because at least you were entertained. But just to hear your, you know, kind of lackluster endorsement of it, you know, it's like, well, it looks like they didn't quite get it done, you know? And that's kind of disappointing, because I thought you were doing a preamble, like, well, you know, the original talking was terrible, and then, you know, and then I went into this one, and I wasn't expecting anything, and then you'd hear, like, this, like, moment of silence, and you'd hear, but I was absolutely wrong! This is one of the greatest movies I've seen in the last 5 years! But that's not what you said. You were like, yeah, and I found out it wasn't terrible.
It ain't that bad. That's
it ain't that bad.
That pretty much sums it up. It ain't that bad.
I'm using that.
That's the Flash Gordon endorsement right there.
Yeah. That's
what Voltan said at the end of See Here Comes the Nerd Rage Alert. Voltan says that at the end of the Flash Gordon movie is that there must be one hell of a planet you men come from. And Flash goes, not so bad.
Not so bad.
And that's the Flash. So you're going to give it one Flash Gordon, huh?
One Flash. I'm going to take the same approach I used for this movie when I went to see episode one in the theater in just a couple weeks
ago. Oh, no. See, you know what? I had avoided doing this to you because you were in the middle of discussing what you were talking about, and I didn't really want to get on your case about it.
Okay,
but let's not pretend that you came zippity-doo-dah out of that theater for episode one and said, that wasn't so bad, because that is not what you said.
No.
I remember it vividly.
That's what I'm saying, is that back then, I didn't take all this information that we've learned through the show. So while I'm watching it now, I saw it for the first time since I've seen, this is the second time I've seen that movie, the episode one. The first time I saw it with you, and going into that theater that day when I saw it with you, I was so excited. This is going to be the second coming of Star Wars movies. It's going to be the greatest thing since sliced ham. And I was like, I left that theater like, man, that movie sucked. That was so bad. Oh my God. I was like, oh, this is, oh,
that's what I don't understand, because I don't understand how you can see episode one. I don't care how old you are. I don't understand how you can see episode one and say it sucked. And then see Ghost Rider and say, I was entertained. That doesn't make sense to me.
But when I went to see it this time around, I took it apart. I did everything I did with the Ghost Rider movie. And I was like, you know what?
Wasn't that bad.
I'm like, wow, you know, Jar Jar Binks wasn't that annoying. As much as annoying as the kid was. I was more upset with the kid than Jar Jar Binks. And having interviewed him, if you remember, he was on the show. I was like, I have more appreciation for this guy and what he did.
Yeah.
And I'm watching this movie like, you know what? He's trying to deliver some funny lines. If you actually pay attention to what he's doing, like, all right, he's the comic relief. Some things fall flat, but he's doing his job what he's supposed to do. But the kid, like, oh my God, this is supposed to be Darth Vader. This kid, this guy here who whoops into this and whoops into that. It's like, man, that's just so bad. But overall, I'm like, you know what? It ain't that bad as I remember. So it ain't that bad.
You've now officially decided that that movie is worthy of a Flash Gordon Award.
Yes.
Not so bad. I just don't understand a franchise like that and going into the prequels. What was in their mind hiring
the kid actor?
The actor, because I still think this, he can't act. It was such a turnoff for me. The story could have been great. It was driving me crazy. His acting all the way till the third one when he, was it the third one he turns into Darth Vader?
Two different actors from the first movie to the other two.
Yeah.
It's just as bad.
But it's bad acting. And then turning into Darth Vader, I mean, this guy is pure evil, and it just wasn't working for me how he turned into, you know, this guy, because it was, oh, you know, you're pissing me off, you're not making me do what I want, you're not listening to me, nobody listens to me, I'm Darth Vader now. You know, it was just like that.
Is that how it happened, Hassan?
That's basically how it happens in real life. That's what he's talking about. I've seen a bunch of people become jerkweeds because I'm not getting what I want.
Nobody's listening to me.
I'm the bad guy now.
Did you guys see Chronicle yet? Did you see Chronicle?
No.
Well, that would go along the lines of what you're saying. If you watch this Chronicle, you would see, wow, this is a great transition from, you know, where we start to where we end up, yeah, as the character development goes, which they should have used for these other movies. But
right.
What are you going to do?
Well, you know, it's kind of, I think it's difficult. First of all, let's just call it what it is. Let's just get it out of the way. They're not great movies. The problem that Star Wars, the new Star Wars movies have, is that the originals weren't really great movies. They're all on par with each other. If you really watch them objectively, they're all on par with each other, with the exception of
Empire.
The second one, Empire Strikes Back, of course, was probably the closest that it comes to actually being a genuine movie with genuine three-dimensional characters and stuff like that. And it ends on a cliffhanger, so even that's not a complete story. But all of the stuff is really on par with the original three. It's just that we were 3 and 5 and 9 and, you know, 15, 16 when we saw that. First time we've ever seen anything like this, and we decided to make it a part of our you know, our experience, our lexicon. The new ones come out, and it's, you know, it's the same, you know, same energy, same acting, same story, same writing, same pace, but the audience is way more sophisticated. But instead of being able to go, okay, well, this is a kids movie, if, you know, if, like, Disney brought out, you know, the sequel to Peter Pan right now, we'd go and see it and go, well, it wasn't, you know, I remember the Peter Pan when I was a kid, I remember that was, I mean, this was okay, you know, it's clearly for kids, but, you know, it wasn't the Peter Pan I remember. Everybody's going to not like something that is supposed to be a rehash of whatever you loved when you were a kid that comes back today. The problem is that the audience was not in the position or did not feel like they should have had to let Star Wars go to the younger generation. The audience held on to it. Said, no, this is for me. This is what I remember. And they watch it, and they go, how come this is not appealing to me? How come I'm not having the same nostalgic feelings that I had when I watched this 30 years ago? Why isn't this happening? And it's because you're not letting it go. Let it go.
Is that why?
They're not great movies. They never were. But they captured your imagination at one point. Now, they're probably not gonna, because you're jaded and angry about, you know, the promises of life that, you know, life didn't fulfill. So that's what happened. I know that's what my problem is.
Well, I would disagree slightly on that, because as I mentioned
before,
that's
when our show's over, unfortunately.
that's your final thought?
No, see, what it is that I was thinking the same way you were up until I saw Superman Returns. Now, Superman Returns, it was not a great movie, but they did their best to try to recapture what was in the other movies. And I felt the same feeling I saw when I saw Superman 2 and Superman 1 when I saw Superman Returns.
Oh, stop it. You're going to tell me that Superman Returns...
I'm not saying it was as good. I'm just saying when I was in that theater... And I was
You're
going to
tell me that Superman,
like,
Returns was on par with,
no,
with Superman 2 and
no,
Superman 1 and 2.
No,
well,
no,
to an extent,
saying,
where you got the...
I'm saying I had
the
feeling. You know, I didn't get that
feeling.
I got
the same feelings from episode 1.
I didn't.
I know you didn't. That's because we're different people.
Well, yeah, but
there's a thing there. Maybe you are more of a Superman fanatic. Maybe you wanted Superman to work for you more so than you did Star Wars. Maybe you had expectations for Star Wars that you didn't have for Superman, or vice versa. But I'm telling you, it's like the same thing. It's a subjective thing, and that's all there is to it. But I mean, I just remember when you came out of seeing that movie that you were, that's the worst thing I've ever seen. I'm like, wow, it wasn't that bad. You know, I mean, there were flaws.
It was no Ghost Rider too.
Stop it. That's unacceptable. That's what I'm saying. I can't believe it. After you ripped that movie, you ripped episode 1 apart. And you come back and say, hey, just had a, you know what? Yeah. I didn't feel like pushing a baby when I came out of it, so it was a good movie.
It ain't that bad.
Maybe I just have lower standards. It ain't that bad.
That's great. Wonderful.
Hey,
you know what? I didn't feel like it going up. And therefore, I give it a 4 stars.
So that's why I say to like, you listeners out there, ain't that bad.
It's like, this liver tastes terrible. Here, put these sautéed onions, mushrooms, and this special sauce on it.
Ain't that bad.
Still terrible, but it's not that bad.
Yeah, so that's my opinion on the movie. Ain't that bad. So,
that bad.
Did I convince you that it isn't that bad, Charlie?
ATB. That's on new ratings, ATB.
Did I do my job?
I'm calling him Flash Gordon.
We'll call it the Flash Gordon.
Did I convince you with 2 minutes left? Did I convince you that it ain't that bad, Hassan?
No.
Convinced
me never to see the film. That's what you convinced
me to wait for the DVD and get it for free.
Not even that.
Wait till it's on basic cable.
Yeah, wait till it's on channel 7 at 2 o'clock in the morning.
And it's 3 o'clock in the morning, yeah. and there's nothing on but Sermonette and Ghost Rider too.
Yeah, and then only maybe. Because I might need to watch that infomercial on the super self-scrubbing bubbles or something like that.
Yeah. So do you have a final thought for us there, Hassan?
Yep.
That was it? Yeah, that's my fault. Yes. Charlie, you have a final thought for us?
No, not really. I really don't.
No, that's all right.
Ain't That Bad covers it pretty much, and Flash Gordon, I'm liking our new ratings.
That defines his show.
And just, let it be known.
That's
I'd
our
like,
slogan. That's our
let
slogan.
Let it
bad.
Be known. I like the sequel to Peter Pan a lot better than Peter Pan.
All right, so I say, if there's nothing else better to see, go see it. Make sure you see the discount. Guys, be on 3D.
Wow, it just gets better.
But that does it for this week on the Game Fun Radio. Join us right here and every Wednesday on WGBB at 9 o'clock. If you miss any portion of the show, you can go online to our website, www.gamefunradio.com, or our Facebook page, and the shows will be up in a week or so. And I guess that's about it, so we'll see you next week.
Take it easy.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the host and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.